the fragrance of my worship rose up to the Father. Noises, lightnings, earthquakes were the response to say, first it was fragrance, then it turned to my worship is my weapon. This is how. First it was fragrance, then it turned to fire.
This
is how I win my battle. Say, first it was fragrance, then it turned to fire.
Brothers and sisters, listen, there are places where they celebrate cars, there are places where they celebrate money, there are places where they celebrate things, but in the gathering of immortals, we only celebrate our King. And when we celebrate Him, the things that men celebrate, the things that men pursue, those things begin to pursue us. So we don't celebrate car, but we have it in abundance. We don't celebrate money, but we have it in abundance. You reign, you reign,
you reign,
you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on. You reign, you reign, you reign. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to the Lord. Thank you, Father. It's such an exciting privilege to be here. Thank you. Love you so much. Such a great honor. I want to salute God's choice servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, prophet of God, also a custodian of fire. Can we celebrate the set man, Apostle Benjamin Boateng? Come on, is that how you celebrate your set man? Give the Lord a shout! Thank you so much. Thank you so much, man of God. It's truly an honor to be here to share with God's people. Thank you for your love for the kingdom. Thank you for your doggedness. Thank you for your commitment. I pray that the Lord will constantly and continually renew, refresh, and strengthen you even for this phase of the assignment. I'm happy to share with this great family of God. It's an honor to be here. God bless you richly. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your commitment. Hallelujah. You know, it's a beautiful thing to serve Jesus. It's a great thing. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will fear no evil, because the Lord is with you. The things money can't buy, they happen to you on a daily basis. And then money itself becomes a byproduct. It's a glorious place to be. When you come into a territory, when you come into a city, the spirits in those territories are aware that you are around. That's the true VIP. And it's not just because you are an apostle. It's not because you are a prophet. Because you are a carrier of God. So everywhere you get to, the fragrance of God just flows out of your body. And you begin to distort things in the spirit. It's so beautiful to serve the Lord. And you will not leave this conference until the glory of God upon your life is increased. Yes. The glory will be increased. The intensity will be increased. The hand of God upon you will become stronger. And you will become a wonder to your world. Thank you, Father. You know, while we're driving in this evening, a very huge truck ran into our vehicle, knocked us out of the road. The car was spinning on the road, hit the pavement at the center, turned back to where we were coming from. And when the car finished turning, we opened the door and stepped out. And you say, "Who did this?" And everybody shouts, "Jesus! Oh my God!" We don't know how to lie on stretchers. We only know how to take people from stretchers. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the valley of the shadow of death. And then you come out of it to say, "Let's go, come on. We are late. We are late for the meeting." Hey, ha, Aliyah, hey, ha, we chant sometimes, because sometimes the things that happen to you, your mind becomes limited. You lack vocabulary to communicate it. So when you can't talk again, you just say, "Ha ha, hey, hey, ha, ha." Because what took others to the grave, you come out of it and you act as if nothing happened. Lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord tonight. Just appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Marigava Kizosavalana Dragadask. Rigabana Seliandra Parido Safragate. Rigababa Shalamanda Lagadia. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. Give Him thanks tonight. Because the devil came late for your life. The devil came late. You are more than a conqueror. He came late. You are already a winner. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Thank you, Father. We love you. We extol your name. We magnify your name. We know that the glory upon our lives is increased. Your hand is stronger upon our lives, and you are granting us even access to deeper places in the Spirit where we'll know you more and become like you. Take all the praise, take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please sit down. God bless you. We don't have so much time tonight. So I would attempt tonight to just do a brief theme exposition. Tomorrow, we will also take time to expound a bit more. But the last night will be a night of fire. So come light. Yes, come light. Ghana is a nation of very gifted people. The operation of the Spirit upon this nation is very spectacular. And so it's important that we understand truth in a texture that cannot be compromised. Because if that level of truth is not articulated, the purposes of God for the nation will be sabotaged. Because it's easier to opt greatness when there is great power. And this is why conferences like this are very important, because they take us back to the foundation of reality to know the things that truly matter. And so we will not be in a rush to delve into the atmosphere and enjoy the euphoria of God's presence. We will examine the scriptures to find out the things that truly matter, so that we reorder our lives in alignment with the movements of the Spirit, and then trust Him to be relevant even in His eternal agenda. And so this evening we are considering the subject of the unity of the faith. So I want to explain scripturally a few things that our faith hinges on, because it's important for us to know what truly matters. And so in the next 1 hour, I'll be rounding up by 9 o'clock. That's a good time. Oh my God. Okay, that's beautiful. We have up to 10. Okay, this is a church of the world. Oh, great, great, great. We have up to 10:30. Okay. Let's look upon the oracles of God. Are you serious? My God. It means you guys are ready. How many hours do we have tomorrow? Do you have stamina to sit on the word of God? You know, in the early church, Peter was teaching for a long time. Ananias came in to deceive him.
the gift of the Spirit was activated. He was judged. He fell down and died. He said they should take him outside. They continued opening the Bible. After 3 hours, his wife came in, lied and died. They took her out. The word of God continued. Is that kind of journey is unto stamina. It's not excitement. It's stamina in the spirit. Paul was teaching into the night in Ephesus. And somebody dozed off. Meanwhile, even when you are sleeping, we will keep cultivating. Because while men slept, the enemy sowed seed. So if the enemy sowed while men slept, God will sow it even much more. So you don't have to be awake. The man dozed off, fell down, died. Eutychus. He came, laid on him, brought him up. And they kept him there till morning. It was in the morning they checked and discovered, okay, he's revived. They sat on the word of God. Because stamina is too important in this matter. And if you think stamina is something to be taken for granted, when you start journeying in the spirit, and you start contending with spirits that have access to manipulation in the realms of wisdom, that's when you will discover that men are judged by the wood they bear in the spirit. Because certain spirits can just come and shove you off. You think you know so much. The moment you step into the spirit, they will weigh you in the spirit. There is a balance. There is a scale of balance in the spirit. To find out, who is this talking? By what authority do you utter these things? And then they want to check you. And then you spoke loud. And then they said, okay, let's tempt him with 1 million cedis. And then the moment 1 million cedis come, the intercessor become creative. And the altar dies. They will now say, okay, that one is weak. Oh, we will take over the whole of Ghana. And then they will say, they will now give you fame. They will just distract you with fame. Everybody starts clapping for you. Everywhere you go, then you now say, wait, okay. The way I'm doing this thing is not correct. I need 7 bodyguards. So the time you used to dress your spirit, you now substitute it for bodyguard. When you are coming for meeting, you are checking whether their suits are ironed and whether they are all on black spec. And then when they all arrange, then you are coming like this. They will say, okay, he is light. Because you don't know the things that matter. You don't know the things that matter. You were serving God faithfully. After a while, you now say, but now, I need to... The level of manifestation I'm seeing now, I need to be a senior prophet. And then, you move from brother, not just to prophet, but you move straight to senior prophet. And then, before you come up, a lot of things must happen. Then you come up like a seer. When the princes see you, they will say, it's light. And then you will fall from your throne. Because when the mortars come, they don't check what you are doing. They find out whether you are still on your throne. And then he said, Adam, where art thou? I know you are still naming the animals and you are still manifesting gift, moving up and down in the garden. But when I check the galaxies of God, your throne is empty. Where thou? The places we check are different. That's why it's important for believers to be equipped so that they will find out what truly matters. And when you know what matters, no matter how high you ascend in the things of God, it will not shake your stability. Because before you began, the pathway was revealed to you. Because if you don't find the pathways of the Spirit, by the time stature begins to come, you will compromise the things that matters. And you will begin to major in the minor. And the major things that the Holy Ghost taught you in the days of your wilderness, when you didn't have a name, you will discard those things. The things that it took the Holy Ghost time to woo you and to seduce you into the secret place, to teach you by himself, you will undermine it. Because you will not know the things that matter in the spirit. So conferences like this help us to re-examine and to re-evaluate the things that bother in the heart of God. And Paul began to teach the church in Ephesus. Because when you check the writings of Paul, the most mature church that Paul dealt with was the church of Ephesus. The deep things of the kingdom, he taught it to the church in Ephesus and the church in Colossus. Because those ones, they had walked with God to a point where they knew the things that were heavy in the spirit. When it came to the church in Romans, in Rome, they were still battling with matters of salvation. They didn't know the foundations of truth as touching the things of salvation. What it matters to even come into the kingdom, they didn't know it. So Paul took time to x-ray the map of salvation for the church in Rome. When he came to the church in Corinth, they were carried away by gifts. People could see into the spirit and they knew when angels were moving. They knew the names of people and the color of singlets they wore. But when Paul weighed them in the spirit, he said, "You are babes and you are carnal." Because of matters of divine intelligence, when the weight of the spirit is brought up, you don't have stature in the spirit. Even though you are highly gifted, he said, "You are babes." But when he came to the church in Ephesus, like Pastor was saying, that's where he said, "Finally, my brethren." I've said a lot of things, but people who are joining here now, they can join the army of God and battle in the spirit. Because these ones, they don't only know the word of God, they have stamina enough to fight. These ones, we can recruit them into warfare. So in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul didn't start talking about the basics of salvation. He began to show them the eternal purpose of God. What God had in mind before the foundation of the world. If you go to Rome, you can teach them about salvation. If you go to Corinth, you can teach them about how to relate with one another. But when you come to Ephesus, they have gone past that level. So we need to show them the eternal purpose of God. What did God have in mind when he began the project of man? And he said, before time began, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, when God decided to give you every spiritual gift, he invited you to participate in the beloved. So what was in the heart of the Father was to create a species of people that can walk with him as one. The mystery of intimacy. Oneness, such as it is in the realm of the Godhead. The same way the Father, the Son, and the Spirit walk together. And there has never been any fragment or chaos. I decided to create a being that is not God. But that being will come into levels of maturity that he can walk with the Godhead. And when you look upon that being, he will be exactly like God. So you see the Holy Ghost, you see that man, they are the same. You see the Son, you see that man, they are the same. There is perfect harmony, such as exists in the Godhead. That was what God had in mind. So he invited you to partake in the beloved. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, he said, in the fullness of time, when the dispensation of time is complete, he said, God will gather all things together as one in Christ Jesus. So the goal is the unity of the faith, that men can coexist as one corporate persona. So when you look upon us, our beauty is not in our individual gifts and powers. Our beauty is in the alignment that we sustain so that we can become the house of God. The glory of this building is not in the difference in the blocks. The glory of this building is the perfect alignment that exists. So much so that a roof can be upon it and it can become a house. If these blocks were beautiful and individualized, this building can be profitable. So there is a mystery that God wants to achieve. It's the mystery of oneness. And there is something we must do in order to file into our ranks so that we can perfectly coexist as one house. Please sit down. You don't know it. That's why you think because you are the one who moves in word of knowledge, you are more important. The moment you thought you were more important, you became the least in the assembly. Because the goal is oneness. He went to verse 2. He now told them about the fact that they were not saved because they were special. They were saved because of the mercy of God. It was the mercy of God that was supplied that made God choose to save humanity. And then he went to verse 3 and he began to teach them about the inclusion of even the Gentile. That this salvation is not only for the Jews because they were called. It is for the whole world. Because God wants to invite the whole world back to the fellowship of the Godhead. And so when he came to chapter 4, he began to show them the things that are required. So when a man actually begins to grow, he will understand the significance of Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 1. And look at the way Paul began to write that verse of scripture. He took time to show us the eternal purpose of God in the whole of chapter 1. How that God created man to live with him, gave him all the gifts that he had. How that man fell. How that God invited man back to himself and redeemed him in Christ Jesus. How that at the end of all things, through Christ, all of us will become one. He went to verse 2 and showed us how that we were redeemed by the grace of God through mercy. He went to chapter 3 and revealed to us how that even the Gentile is part of this salvation. And when he came to chapter 4, he began to teach us matters of maturity. Because when you are saved, you will have a gift. When you are saved, you will walk in a dimension. But what matters is how to coexist as one. And so when he began to share in Ephesians chapter 4, he didn't share as an apostle. He didn't share as a gifted man. He started talking as a prisoner of Christ. Because he had journeyed from an apostle, from a preacher, from a teacher, he has become a prisoner. There was a time when he gloried in his status. There was a time when the beauty of Paul was in his wisdom. There was a time when the glow that Paul carried was in the fact that he could access mystery. He said, but on these matters that border on the eternal purpose of God, the mystery of oneness, because that's the mystery of the book of Ephesians, the mystery of oneness. On this matter, he said, only a prisoner has the stature to water it. A man that has forgone everything. A man that looks upon you like a fellow brethren. A man that sees you as a co-laborer. A man who doesn't look upon himself as distinct in any form, but one with you. A prisoner of Christ. One who has been subjected by the will of God until he doesn't have a life of his own. That is the man addressing you. And he began to write. He said, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you. Not the apostle of God. If I come as an apostle, there are some things I can pride in. That on the strength of the call, on the strength of my office, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, I can move in certain gifts of the Spirit, and when I move, I will stand in a certain way as an apostle. But when I come as a prisoner, I come bound by the will of God. I only say what God says, and what God wants is all that matters. And he began to show us this mystery. I will build on it gradually. But let me begin from the anchor scripture. We will come back and then you will see some of the things they itemize. Because when I start showing you this truth, we will come back here. In verse 12, it says, for perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When you read that scripture, you have to follow it backward to understand what Paul was saying. The goal of what Paul was saying as touching unity is not just oneness. Because oneness cannot be possible. Oneness is not we agree together that there will be no trouble. Oneness is not we trying to understand ourselves. Paul began to show us the way the technology of oneness works in the spirit. It's not an organization where people come and write laws and say, let's live by these laws so that we don't unfail ourselves. No. It's a oneness. Actually, the key to oneness is spiritual maturity. The goal is spiritual maturity. What divides us primarily is not our differences. What divides us primarily is our immaturity. Our differences are not sufficient to provoke a divide in our midst. What provokes a divide in our midst is the fact that we are not yet mature. Because our doctrine can be different. But if we are mature, we will understand the place of forbearance. So the reason we fight is not primarily the difference in our doctrine. Our gifts may be different, but we can still be one if only we are mature, because we will know how to bear one another's burden to fulfill the law of Christ. So Paul said, in walking in the oneness of the faith, he said the believer has to be what? Come to a place of perfection, a place of maturity, a place of the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. So the unity of the faith anchors upon the maturity of the individual believer. If the believer is not individually mature, there can be no corporate oneness. So our first attempt in provoking oneness as a people is to ensure that labor is put in to bring every individual to a place of maturity. If every individual comes to a place of maturity, Paul said oneness will become a natural byproduct. Many times we discuss the subject of oneness and we want to do it like politics. And then we start writing laws, rules and regulations. We start encouraging ourselves on the need to coexist. That is at the natural level. At the spiritual level, what when you want unity, what you do is that you make everybody come to maturity. When everybody comes to maturity, everybody naturally aligns. So when you see the body of Christ fighting one another, no matter the mysteries we are saying, no matter the gifts we are manifesting, when we are fighting one another, the principalities know that this body is still a child. Our battling with ourselves, our malice, our backbiting in itself is a testimony in the spirit that we are babes. So when we come and manifest gifts, they laugh. Because they know the one manifesting the gift is a babe. Because the principalities can only be threatened when we grow in maturity. It's just like a child carrying a gun. He can be shooting the gun sporadically, but you know he can't do anything with it. Because when an army officer carries a gun, it's for the defense of his nation. That child carrying that gun, if you offend him, he will shoot you. If he needs money, he will kill you to collect money. So the gun itself becomes a danger to the child. That's why today, people have gifts. The gifts have become danger to the body of Christ. So the princes are not moved because we are gifted. The princes are not moved because we move in word of knowledge. We move in workings of miracles. The princes are not moved because we talk wisdom. We have oratory. No. The princes are moved when we can coexist as one. Because our coexistence is a testimony that we have come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. So the subject of oneness is not a subject of doctrinal cohesion and alignment. The subject of oneness is not a subject of cultural, realigning cultural disparity. The subject of oneness is a subject that anchors on emphasis on individual maturity. The moment everyone among us becomes individually mature, unity becomes natural. When we want to discuss this subject, you will assume, okay, let's examine every doctrine and find out which is right. If 10 teachers sit down, all of them will explain the doctrine differently. And all of them will believe they are all right. So the issue of right and wrong is not what solves the problem of our divide. What solves the problem of our divide is whether what we learn will bring us to maturity. The moment we come to maturity, unity will become natural. Let me show you a few scriptures. So it doesn't just look like I'm overemphasizing or overflogging things. First Corinthians 1:7. I want you to look at these scriptures yourself so you understand some of the things that truly matter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and Paul told them, he said, you have not come behind in any gift. That's why all the 9 gifts of the Spirit, he taught it in the Corinthian church. They manifested every gift. He said, you have not come behind in any gift. Please sit down. You have not come behind in any gift. If you talk about working on miracles, somebody can come without limbs. They will hold the leg and pull it out. They are not waiting for the leg to grow. They will draw it out. Somebody is blind. There are no balls, eyeballs. They will make spittle from the mud. And they will put it there and you will see eyeballs now. If you want to argue whether God is real, they will show it to you 1,000 ways. The way you have 1,000 ways to die, they can show you through gifts 1,000 ways to prove that God is real. They can tell you everything you need to know about yourself. They didn't come behind in any gift. So they played with it in the Corinthian church. But if you go to 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, Paul said, when I wrote unto you, I could not write unto you as mature. I wrote unto you as carnal and as babes. How can people be walking spiritual gift and they are carnal? I thought it's called spiritual gift. So, because there are many things that can motivate the manifestation. Of a gift. When you know how a gift works, your pride can motivate it. You can manifest a gift to show somebody that you are a man of God, not because you want to reveal Christ. So sometimes the reason you see a lot of things happening is pride at work. And when the princes check through the lens of the Spirit, they know that man walking there is a carnal man. So Paul said, the people who didn't come behind in any spiritual gift, he says, see their rank in the spirit. Their rank is what? Babes. That means spiritual gifts can be a function for babes. So because I collected crutches from somebody's hand, doesn't give me stature in the spirit. Because I can collect that crutch now, and the next thing, I go back. And that same crutch I receive will become the basis why we swindle the people for money. I can prophesy to somebody now, and that prophecy becomes the reason why I steal from the same person. So the reason why I manifested the gift in the first place was to make the person vulnerable so that I can take from him. It's the way of babes. They didn't come behind in any gift, but they are what? They are babes. So you don't judge ranking by gift. And if the church is not mature, there can be no unity of faith. Even if all of us come together and say, let's pick one doctrine and adopt it, there will still be many divide. Unity is not a function of harmonizing doctrine. Unity is a function of individual maturity. When many mature people come together, unity becomes natural. You find the greatest problem when you see gifted people. The most carnal church is the church of gifts. The most spiritual church is the church of the world. You will come, the word of God will be simple. You will think nothing is happening. But when God is looking for men, he can trust. He will not go to the church of gifts. He will go to the church of the world. I'm showing you the things that matter. Because what was in the heart of God when he began was oneness. There are many things God instituted to reveal the mystery of oneness, both in nature and in the spirit and in the kingdom. The reason you are alive today is because trees exist. So the carbon dioxide you emit as a byproduct, that's what plants feed on. And the oxygen they emit as byproduct, that's what you feed on. If you cut all the trees in Ghana, every man will die. It's a mystery of oneness. The reason marriage exists, one of the 7 reasons why marriage exists, is to show the mystery of oneness. So that man and woman can become one. And the children they give birth to is a testimony that productivity in the realm of God is not a function of individual power. It's a function of coexistence. So no matter how powerful a man is, he can't reproduce. No matter how powerful a woman is, he can't reproduce. In the realm of God, the only time productivity is possible is when cohesion finds expression. It's a mystery of oneness. That's why we stand up. We think because we are powerful in our church, everybody can heal the sick. We assume we will take Ghana. We are joking. All of us, we heal the sick and we will remain there exciting ourselves. And the territory will be in darkness. That's why we come, we assume in our church, everybody can prophesy. So we are the hope of Ghana. You are joking. That's why we come, we say, hey, the greatest evangelist in Ghana is from our church. He can pack out the stadium. The Black Star can be full, but Ghana will be in darkness. The stadium can be packed out. Ghana will be in darkness. Because the kind of productivity that affects a territory is not given to an individual. It is corporate existence that makes it happen. And when we bank on gift and undermine the place of maturity that manifests in our coexistence, then we are not ready to change our world. We will become superstars that men will clap for, but we will not change our world. Gift is not maturity. Number two, mysteries and utterance is not maturity. You know, when you hear some of us share some things, you say, my God, hey, this man has stature. It's not because of the mysteries. Those mysteries flow through you as a channel to your generation. You may be sharing certain things. You too, you are hearing it for the first time. I preached some things. They came to me while I was on the altar. So I know that, you are a channel. If you want to know how that thing works, you too will go and have great utterance. Does not mean you have stature. A lot of people have been deceived. Because when they stand, God begins to flow through them, using them to reach his generation. And they assume, because people erroneously think those things they preach is their complete reality. It's not so. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 and 5, Paul began to talk to us again about this same church in Corinth. He said, you know our mysteries. You come behind in no utterance and paint everything God wants to utter in the clearest form. He said, but those men, when they are done painting those things with bogus utterances, he said, they are babes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, he said, if there is malice among you, if there is backbiting among you, are you not babes? Are you not carnal? Don't you behave as men? Hope you know when men can share mysteries, you look at them, you say, God of mercy, this is an immortal. He said, the people that talk all those mysteries, he said, they are the most men among men. They know all the mysteries. He said, but they are carnal. Because the moment you come close to them, you will discover that their heart has been corrupt with pride. There is so much envy in their spirit. They are used to everybody clapping for them. So the moment anybody wants to shine around them, they will kill that person. Evil has entered depth of their hearts. He said, even though they know all the mysteries, they don't walk in it. He said, they are babes. So mysteries don't make you mature. That's why the body of Christ in our generation, so many mysteries from many quarters, yet we can't challenge the powers of territory. You hardly find a place where people can exist as brethren. So the signature of maturity, which is the unity of the faith, you can't find it. You now wonder, why do they know all the mysteries of God, yet nothing is happening? Because maturity is not utterance. Maturity is not the ability to communicate.